Hey Cody,
Hello.
how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. Yourself?
Good. It's so great to have you back on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had you on about 8 months ago. That was really awesome.
Nice. Yeah.
I
It's
love
been a
that
little
episode.
bit.
I love that episode because I became a better interviewer from it. I feel like the first part of it is very cringe for me, like the first 15 minutes,
Right.
and then it kind of taught me, like, this is an important thing I learned, is you really have to keep the attention of the person you're talking to and also highlight what they're good at, you know?
Right.
And I just learned how to do that through that. And I just want to thank you for helping me through that
Oh, no
because
problem. I'm glad I could help, even if it was not my
it's probably
intention.
not your intention, but it's just like
Yeah.
I had to do that. And now, like, because that's the one thing that's kind of funny about doing this podcast is I talk to a lot of comedians, but a lot of episodes aren't really that funny because they're just sort of talking about comedy and how people started. And it's a cool behind the music thing. It's always interesting, but I'm like, I gotta highlight people's
Right,
humor.
yeah.
And I didn't even get to broach the subjects that I didn't want to talk about them because I didn't want to get too personal right away. I kind of just wanted to, introduce you. But I did have a lot of stuff that I wanted to talk to you about because of the Ace Council and everything. Are you
Okay,
cool
yeah.
with talking about
Oh,
like the
absolutely.
sexuality and gender stuff? I don't want to be
Oh, yeah, no, go for it.
All right, great. So you have that Ace Council thing. You kind of talk about, experimenting. I don't know if that's the right word, but just getting that audience. I know you kind of joke about it. You got like a trans audience, and it made you more, I guess, inquisitive of what you actually are inside. Is
Right.
that fair?
Yes. I would say that's an accurate way to phrase it. Yeah.
I mean, it's always fascinating to me. Gender is such a hard thing nowadays. My brother, he's his wife or husband or whatever is a trans mask, and it's tough because my parents are like the way that I sort of word it is they're like sane Republicans, but they're still that.
Right.
So it's like trying to wrap, it's like trying to just coexist and like just learn. It's just learning and trying to get a hold of it. And for you, I think that's a great thing that you did because I think a lot of people, especially guys, like they kind of would just get weirded out and just be like, "Oh, I don't want this." Like, and you were like, "No, I'm fine with doing it." Is that a correct way, or was it a little?
I mean, it wasn't like entirely like, I'm gonna do it was just the sort of thing where it just came out and it's just like it kind of forced me to look into it. I wouldn't say it was a huge choice on my part.
Right.
It was just the sort of thing where it's like, I knew it was gonna keep bothering me if I didn't look into it.
Right. And
And
it probably was,
so
I
go
don't mean to cut you off. It's probably like, I can just imagine from that perspective of you have this huge following now that you really didn't, we talked about, you really didn't expect to
Oh, yeah.
get. And I can imagine the pressure of that. Like, to me, I just think a lot of people don't realize that until it happens of like, no, people are blowing up your phone or like whatever you like do your TikTok on, and you're like, shit, like I have 700 people like
Right, yeah.
telling me this. It's like, I don't think a lot of people can wrap their head around that when they get into comedy or like you see so many people trying to get famous nowadays, and it's like they don't think about that. Like, it must really impact your life. Has it, the like bunch of followers that you have?
I mean, I go out of my, I try my best to not, let it get to me too much. Cause, like it, cause at, on the first level of things, like, yes, the following that I have, which if you don't know, is 180,000 followers on TikTok. Like that is big. That like, yes, that's way bigger than I ever could have expected. But at the same time, like it's not big enough that I can get like an ego out of it, right? Like it's not like I'm still like it's still very impressive, but at the same time, like I can't, there's not a lot you can really like you can't spin that, you can't spin out like spin that into something else as much.
Yeah, it's funny. There's this comedian that he used to be a comedian. He doesn't really do stand up anymore. This guy, Andy Mizrahi, he became like randomly like one of Tinder's most swiped guy. Like, it just randomly happened to him.
Huh.
And he got in like magazines and stuff. And it was really tough for him to like try to carve something out of it. And it's just, it kind of reminds me of that. It's like, once you get something like that, even if it's like not, it's, you know, it's a thousand, whatever, it's not that much. Like, where is it sort of a thing that you take lightly with the other comedians in your scene? Are they like, oh, that's just a cool thing, or it doesn't really affect, like, you're getting on shows?
I would say that's accurate. Yeah, I don't try and leverage it because I know how that looks.
And I can imagine how comedians just feel, like, just being in that scene, it's kind of more casual. It's like, oh, that's a cool thing with Cody. Like,
right, and that's the thing, is, like, I generally don't bring it up.
Right.
Like, unless it's like, you know, I'm trying to get on a festival or something, and that's more of a, like, you know,
yeah, that's more
person of a... doesn't know me.
Right.
And it's like, why, like, you, it's a way to, it's a way to show that people like what I'm doing. It's not the only way. Like, I don't lead with it.
I really am impressed. And just because I have no way of doing it, really, is I'm really impressed with how you take everything that you do. Like, I don't know if it's drive or just what you have to, like, I feel very self-conscious about putting up open mic stuff on my TikTok of, like, and you'll just do that. You have a channel where you're you say it, like, basically you'll slog through open mics. And it's tough because, you know, audiences, they don't really know the nuances, and they'll be like, why aren't people laughing? And it's like, no, I'm performing in front of other comedians that are broken inside.
Right.
It's like, you know, it's tough, I can imagine. And to me, I can't take that, like, I couldn't do that personally. To be like, oh, here's me on an open mic where, you know, the audience isn't giving me what I want. Does that make sense? But I admire that. I'm not, like, shitting on you. I think it's, like, a great, you know, a good thing to do. Because also, on top of that, you have your other channel where you'll do skits about subjects that you're talking about on stage. And you'll really flesh it out to a way of, let me have fun with this. Is that sort of what you're kind of getting at?
Like that, yeah, that's the thing, is like TikTok and stand-up, like it is too different. Like it doesn't translate perfectly.
Right.
Like at one level, with stand-up, you have a much more captive audience.
Right.
Like you don't, like, it's not as easy for them to, you know, go like stop watching.
Right.
So you can build things a little bit more. Depend, like, not always, but like there are some jokes that I have that are just like, just build and build and build and build. And you can't really do that as much on TikTok unless you have like a reputation already. And even then you're like, you're going to be a niche.
Oh yeah, for sure. And with stand up, it's so tough because I always feel like even with me, I've been writing this, you know, hour, 45 minutes for 3 years. And it's so tough because I get sort of in my brain of like, I don't want this to be one man showish because I don't, but it has to have a narrative to put structured jokes together.
Right.
So it's like, it's really tough to be like, I just want to do, I get very nerdy. I'm like, I just want to do the jokes. It's like,
oh yeah, yeah.
This has to have a format, Richard. It has to have, this goes into this, that goes into that. I can't just, and my style, like, even as much as it would be better for that sort of what I want, is like, it's not like Mitch Hedberg, like one-liner stuff. It's like, it has to be a narrative. Do you feel that with your comedy? Like, I know your stuff, we talked about like your stuff being in a great way, very alty. Like, do you have that sort of where it all flushes out together, do you think?
I'd say it's a mix. Like, there are definitely some things, like, I don't write the jokes with the intention of it like adding on to other jokes.
Oh,
as
yeah,
much
for sure.
It's just, you know, sometimes when you're and I also don't have, at this point, I don't have like preconceived sets, like every set, like I've got a bunch of jokes I've got, like, and those can range from just one-liners to like 8 to 10 minute things, and like I've got the names of all of them and I know what the jokes are,
right?
And so I go in, and depending on the audience and depending on the subject material that I'm expecting, or like what I think that the audience will like, or what's been working lately.
Right.
You know, a variety of different things.
You know,
I'll go in and do that. And
cut you off, but yeah, keep going.
Once I get more shows going on, I think that will become a little bit more solidified.
Right.
But at this point, you know, like even if I'm doing 20 minutes, I've got enough stuff most of the time where I can play with it. Like, it's not right. Like I'm coming up on the edge of like of usable material. Like, I've got a like there's a, not every most of the stuff in my backlog is probably garbage, as you like. That's just how it works.
I understand that. Like,
but I've got a just a large amount of material. So like at this point, it's mostly, you know, whittling it down, figuring out how to say it on stage, that sort of stuff.
Right.
I haven't done a length of time as of yet where I feel like I'm where it feels like I'm stretching it further than it should
right.
be.
Right. And I think a lot of comics can relate to this. I think you can is I get so fed up with time now, because it used to be when you do stand up, you're kind of like, it takes forever. You know, you think you're on stage for like an hour and you're like, no, that was just like 2 minutes.
Right.
And then you sort of get better at it and you get that drive of like, oh, you know, you're in your time slot 10, 15, like even if you get 15 minutes, you're like, I want more of this. I want more time.
Right.
You get that audience and you're just like, I feel like for me, when I started, it took me, you know, 2 minutes to get like a laugh and like people to get interested. And it's like, okay, you have 3 minutes left. Now it's like, I got to get people in 30 seconds. I got to keep this. And then when I have like 2 minutes left, and I'll have like 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and it'll be like eight minutes, and I'll be like, shit, I want this to be longer. I don't want to get off. It's like, right. Do you have that? Or are you still like kind of happy at where you're at when you do your stuff?
I would say I'm mostly happy. Yeah.
Yeah. It can be so tough because, like, you know, I don't know how often do you go out and do like mics and stuff?
A couple of times a week, anywhere from like 2 to 6, I would say, generally. Yeah.
I'm the same way. I can work it to like 6. I want to do that, but it's just, that's one of the tough things is like, once you do it more, it's like, okay, what's more to do? Is there a lot of places like in your area? You're in Portland, right?
Yeah.
So I hear that's a great, you know, place. The only thing I hear about it, and it's like we kind of went over this last time, is like the sensitivity of crowds is different from, that's just the reputation here.
Yeah, no, it's not wrong.
Yeah, but it's nice to, you know, it's kind of, you know, there's kind of a way to parlay into what I wanted to talk about. You know, I kind of like, you see the things that you like that I put on Twitter, and it's just funny, like, you know, we talked a little bit about like political stuff, but it's so nice to have like a comedian or other person that sort of gets what you're talking about politically, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah.
It's like, I know, it's like the Portland guy's getting to know what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah.
It can just be tough because I don't want to be like, I don't want to make this like a super political podcast. There's a lot of stuff that, you know, is interesting to me that you sort of have. Are you pretty like, I don't want to say active, but do you pay attention to a lot of politics?
I pay attention, yeah. I wouldn't say necessarily how active I am.
Right.
Just because, you know, I'm you know, fairly busy as is.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I mean, like, that's the thing, is I'll 100% throw my weight behind the people that have the time and the energy.
Oh, yeah, me too.
To do that. That's what I do, is I feel I'm much, I could help out, like, I know I have some of the skill set to do like do a lot of that, but I also know how quickly I would burn out from that.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And just, you know, how much that would affect me. So I think, you know, being a support role sort of situation, I think, is optimal for me. And, you know, just keeping my hands clean, and then if something needs to happen, that's, yeah.
I mean, I just see, like, you know, the one thing I shared, it, I thought it was really cool, was you showed that picture of you in a dress, and I wasn't sure to comment on it because I wanted to, and I just didn't want to make you uncomfortable. But I really thought that was a sweet thing and cool thing for you to do, because I think a lot of people, just now with the news and how different people are, they have, like, a bad representation of what they think drag is and how people express themselves.
Right.
And if I can show it, like, no, it's not this deviant thing, it's, you know,
right,
it's fine. It's like, to me, I'm just like, it feels so weird that for basic rights to have to fight for them.
Right.
It feels like, I don't know,
like something as arbitrary as just let people do what, like it, they're not hurting anyone.
It's like this is basic. It's like if I was building like a country from scratch, it's like, yeah, let people dress however they want.
Right. It's all arbitrary. That's the thing. It's all like there's no biological gender weight. Like it's not like having a Y chromosome makes you wear pants. Like it's not like none of it's it's all societal and it's all pretty arbitrary.
Right. And I try and get into that mindset of like I have a lot of like a couple of Republican friends and like family, and I'm just trying to get in that mindset of like how do they see it from that perspective. And a lot of it just takes nuance to be like, okay, that's how I kind of get it. I might not agree with that, you know, we sort of, it's sort of for us, we kind of look at it as like 1 + 2 = 3. With them, it's like 1 + fish = square. It's like, how do you get to that?
Right. Yeah.
And you can't like, you know, to me, it's like, I don't want to minimize anyone's opinion. That's what I never want to do. Cause I used to be that way. I think when you get to talking about politics, you sort of think, you know, everything. And you know, for me, it's just like, if I can just explain, like, that this is an okay, non-harmful thing, that was just sort of my thing with the post, and I hope that didn't make you uncomfortable.
Oh, no, you're fine. Yeah, no, that's what I was going for, is just being like, this is, like, it's, you know, there are a lot of trans people in my life that I wanted this, like, to show, like, you know, that, and Let me gather my thoughts here real quick.
Right. Yeah, sure.
I wanted to support the trans people in my life and show them that I supported them. And it wasn't like, yeah, at one level, like, yeah, it is superficial. Like I'm not a hero for it, obviously.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, you know, like it shows that I'm at least willing to put in some actions and that it's like, I'm willing to help them out and to have somebody who is on the, and also showing people that it's not just a trans, that not only trans people care about trans issues.
Right.
Right. Cause that's the thing, is if people only think that it's this very specific group of people that care about it, it's a lot easier to ignore.
Yeah, of course. It's like, you know, these are the people that I've always been happy, you know, to have people in the podcast that are trans, and you know it's hard because with comedy there's so much of people don't have bad intention with comedy a lot. It's just you have to talk about current issues. And I think the hardest thing about stand-up, the one thing that I dislike a lot, is you see this with like Joe Rogan and a lot of the podcast comedians, is people start to like, they start to get in their head that people love, once you get a following, people think that, oh, they want to hear my real opinions.
Right.
And it's like, that's really tough. Like, to me, I'm just like, no, they just want to hear your jokes, man. It's like,
right.
To me, it's the same way. I always get like mad at that. I'm like, you know, but then I look at someone like you, and you do it in such a way that's like casual, but also you put some thought into it. Like the Ace Council character is always fun. You know, you dress up and, you know, that takes a lot of guts, because I can imagine there are pockets of people like who would see that and you just be like, okay, well, they don't take it and they'll maybe make fun of you, but you'll be like, this is what I do. And people get a good thing out of it. Right.
Right. That, yeah, that's the thing, is like it, there is pushback on a lot of the stuff I do. Especially the queer stuff.
Right.
But you know, the reaction I get from the people that I'm trying to do it for, that's what keeps me going.
Right. And like, do you feel like they're grateful towards what you do, and they know like your side of it and what you're trying to do?
I think so. Yeah. I think most the people who, you know, follow me and are fans of mine, like they know what I'm trying to do. And I feel like, you know, the people who are affected by the things I talk about, like they understand that, you know, I'm trying my best to help them and help me in certain, like, you know, help my community.
Right.
As well. Because ultimately, I think if you look at most of what I do that isn't jokes, you can boil it down to, you know, just don't hurt people.
Right.
Don't like, hurt just people. Just be kind in general.
Right.
Like, it's not, you want to, yeah, just basically just be kind. That sort of.
Right. And that's such a great, you know, message. And it's so tough. Like, it's so weird to have to say that. You know,
I mean, you know, I mean, I do get it at some level, because sometimes you get wrapped up in your own thing. And
right.
And I'm not saying, like, you know, you have to be kind to everyone. Right. That's not a thing. Like,
and you know, what's interesting is, like, you brought up someone in your thing is you mentioned Finster. And yeah. I have, like, I know who that is. I've seen, you know, on YouTube and stuff. And to me, people get upset about it. Even, like, I try not to be, like, demeaning to trans people, whatever problem they have with it. But the way I sort of always defend it is, well, that's drag, and it's kind of a little bit different. And I can understand how that can be, you know, perceived. It's like, I'm not minimizing it, but I don't see the – I guess I can see both. Some things I see and I'm like, yeah, that kind of feels like, I don't know, taking the money from it and the – entertainment side from it, and then being like, no, people actually deal with, you know, gender identity. If that makes sense.
I can see what you're saying. Yeah,
so I always get conflicted on it. I'm like, am I supposed to defend this, or am I supposed to hate this?
And I mean, you're more than you're allowed to, like, not know.
Right.
That's the thing, is there are so many people that, like, feel like they should comment on things that
they don't really
understand, or, like, are just on, like, don't know. And that it's okay to not know.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I guess that's a great point, you know, to make. It's like, yeah, it's like, for sure you don't have to know that, but it's like, yeah, it's just another thing. You know, I think, you know, I just want to be able to explain it, like, my side of it, and just to be like, I'm okay with it, but I don't know if it's good.
Right. Well, that's the tough thing. Is, you know, any there's no community that's a monolith.
Right.
And if they are, that you should look into that, because it's probably some sort of cult.
Right. Exactly.
You're
gonna have pockets of people that agree on certain things.
Right. Exactly. And you gotta be, you know, take your experience with things and be willing to take criticism.
Right.
Like, you know, acknowledge when you make mistakes.
Right.
Like, that's another thing that I see, is people just are unwilling to admit when they make a mistake. And, like, I get it at some level.
Yeah,
like,
because I think, and I can imagine this for anything, it's, you want those people who know the nuances to see the nuances. Because if people don't, then it's just frustrating.
Right.
It's like, you know, I can just imagine, like, you know, trying to keep that in mind. So that's a great thing to hear. And, like, you doing the Ace Council stuff, like, I don't want to keep going back to it too much, but, like, it's been, you know, how long have you been doing that for now?
I would say a little over a year, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember right, it was like December of 2021 when that character became a thing.
Yeah, and I mean, it's fascinating to me. I think as a straight person, I always find myself, like, it's such a gross thing, and to sort of get, like, you're kind of dealing with the same, you know, the same stuff as anyone, like, biology wise. When did you figure out, like, okay, I might be ace, like, that sort of?
So I was about I was 19 or 20 when I figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before then I really didn't have any experiences, and so, like, I just assumed that what I was feeling was normal, like, just the, you know, want, like, you take a stimulus that you're having and you're like, okay, I guess this is just how everyone feels about whatever.
Right, right? Exactly.
Because you don't have any frame of reference. And then, you know, because it wasn't as easy for me as some people, because, like, I wasn't repulsed by it by any means. And, like, physically, like, my body would have a reaction, but, like, my brain was just not connecting to it at all.
Right.
And just, like, you know, as far as assuming everybody's telling the truth, I assume that you're supposed to be like you're supposed to be in the moment and all that. And it's just like, it just wasn't happening.
I can imagine that. Like, you get heady about something. You're like, this should be, you know, what I.
Right. I don't think most people look at sex strategically.
No.
In that
no,
sort of
no,
way.
No.
I mean, some people do, but that's like the picking up people part of it, not the actual right. act.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so it was just the sort of thing where, you know, like I tried a few different things and I noticed like, even if I was with somebody that I really cared about, like I was feeling the same way. And I'm like, okay,
right.
now that I've seen this, now that I have this, all this of it, like all this experience, I'm like, okay, yeah. This is the thing that describes me the most.
Right. And that must have, I don't want to put anything in your mouth or brain of like what you felt, but was it reassuring? Was it like, okay, there's a word for this. There's a thing for this. It's like, it's tangible. Like,
right.
It's a thing. You know, I can imagine like years ago when people were Acer in that way of like, I don't really fit that mold of like, what is it? It's like, now there's a, with the internet and everything, there's like a clear defined, like not role, but like you can fit in with people. And I think like, that's cool that you can reach those people on TikTok of like, hey, if you're feeling like, you know, you might have these feelings, you know, you're not weird, you know, that makes
right.
sense.
Yeah. And ultimately that's what that character is all about. It's just like, yeah, if you, cause I just don't want somebody going through the same thing that I was dealing with,
right,
of just not understanding and just being by like being very alone and not having somebody to really explain it and having people just not believe you or just assume that something is wrong with you immediately,
right,
and just being like, you know, not only prepare, like not only telling people that it's okay to feel the way that they're feeling, but also preparing them for what they're probably going to deal with, because, you know, society has not changed on that front a whole lot. Certain pockets of it have, but in general, people will just automatically assume that there is a medical issue happening.
Right.
And I mean, not that, and I'm not saying that
it's, for you, right? You just said
what?
It wasn't,
I'm sorry.
You said it wasn't like a medical thing at all, really. It was just, you
know. I mean, there was a medical thing wrong with me, but even after I got it fixed, nothing changed.
Mm.
Like, I guess I did have low testosterone.
Oh.
I'd like that. I got tested for that. They found that along with a few other things.
Mm-hmm.
But even after I got that fixed, I felt like it didn't change anything. So like, it was just coincidental.
Right.
Or like, maybe it was like, you know, because of it in development or whatever, like that's also a possibility. But like,
right.
At this point, it's not going to change.
Right. And, you know, to me, I think it's just inherently fascinating because I'm not like trying to be gross or anything. Like, that's not what this podcast is. I don't try and get into, you know, like, oh, who you're banging, like,
right.
Like that. But like, I just, it's inherently, I think, fascinating for me as a weird, like, not weird, but like as a normal straight guy to be like, oh, that's fascinating.
No, I get what you're saying. Like, it's just like being like, it's a completely different world. I get it.
Yeah. So I don't want to make you uncomfortable. I hope that I'm not. I just,
oh no, I'll let you know. I'll let you know if anything crosses the line.
That's the main thing with this podcast is
post or something.
You know, it's tough. Like you can kind of understand this. Like when you have a social anxiety disorder, you're like, am I doing this correctly?
Oh yeah, like, yeah.
Because you got to take in feelings that you don't normally think about. You're like,
or just basically like, yeah, because for whatever reason, people do not. I mean, I understand at some level of people not trusting you to say the unspoken social rules and everything.
Right. Because, you know, it's so funny to talk to comedians and stuff because we do that. We do that on stage. We talk about things, you know, that people wouldn't. And you never know when you can broach that comfortable. So I just want to say thank you for, you know, telling me that and also being comfortable with my line of question.
Oh, yeah, you're fine. You're fine.
Why not, you know. And I don't want to be annoying saying like, oh, I'm worried about this. I just want
to. No, it's a completely fair thing to be worried about. Like, because, basically anytime you go into a subject with that you don't know a ton about, or
right.
you understand at some level, but like it doesn't make intuitive sense. Like I right. get it. Like you don't want to accidentally, you know, set me off. That's a perfectly reasonable right. thing to do.
And I was just thinking of it just randomly. Like, it just came to me that you did a little bit of talking about it with your partner on YouTube. And I watched a little bit of that. Did it get too personal for you guys to keep going at it, or was it just like a timing thing of, oh, we can't do this champ?
It was just the sort of thing where we kind of got in and over our heads on that. And so we kind of just decided not to pursue.
Right. That totally makes sense.
Yeah. It was there are other resources, and it's just like, we weren't really having a lot of fun with it. And that was our main thing.
Right.
So we kind of just, and you know, also it's just very time consuming.
Oh yeah, for sure. You know, trying to do something with other people, you know, it can be crazy just trying to get stuff done. And
oh yeah,
you know, especially with, you know, content, like, I don't want to say kind of, because what you do is pretty, it feels pretty natural. Like, you're not extending yourself too much with the TikTok stuff. You never have. You're just, it's just a cool thing that you're able to do. And it's really cool to have that outlet, especially as a comic. I think the one thing that we get, I think if you're in the entertainment business at all or anything, is people are constantly like thinking that you're doing all this work. And I think a lot of people are just sort of not working as hard. And it's not like a lazy thing. It's just like life.
Right. Like, if you're like, you got to make money still, you got to like do the normal people shit
some way to,
and like, I also do that. So like, I can relate, like, I probably don't work as hard as most people think I do.
Right. Cause they just see the algorithm of what you're putting out and they go, oh wow, that must be a lot. And it's like, it's like, no, I just do this, you know, to put stuff up. And, you know, putting up, you know, how many are you putting up, like one clip a day, or do you usually do like a few?
When I was first starting out, I did like one to two, and I maintained that for like a while. But recently I've been trying to, I've been slowing down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, it just makes things easier to not have to have that pressure of having to post every day.
Right. And I see you've been getting a couple gigs, and that's always cool for me to see. You know, I love seeing people on the podcast get, you know, any type of, you know, like traction with what they do, because it can be so tough. I know for me, like, I hate to talk about myself so much on the podcast, but it's really been tough for me in the past few years since COVID to get any substantial bookings. And it's tough to be in this, you know, in this state. I'm in New Jersey, which is, you know, underrated for comedy, but there's like a ceiling, if that makes sense.
Right. Because, yeah, if you're the best in New Jersey, you're probably going to go to New York or Philly.
And it's like, you know, it's kind of like, I don't have anything against those people, but there's sort of people that are, you know, in different circumstances that are like the top 15 people that get booked, you know, for everything.
Right.
And you try and make that jump, and you're like, a lot of it is, it's more social hierarchy than it is like based off of skill.
Right.
And you can't get upset by that. You just have to sort of take that as it is. Like, to me, a lot of it is, I was sort of in the short period before COVID, I was sort of friends and like in that vein of like those people that were getting booked a whole lot. So I was getting booked more. And then I just got different friends in comedy, which I think helped me, because that's what I love. I want to talk to you about this, is the one thing that I love is the different comedians that I've been able to interact with. Like, I don't drive, so whenever I travel with other comedians a lot, like, you sort of pick up on their style.
Like, right.
The first guy that I did that was able to drive me around stuff, which my mom loved, because when she started, she was the one taking me everywhere.
Right.
And the cool thing was, he's a Mitch Hedberg type of one.
Oh, nice.
Comic. So it was cool to learn that style. And my roommate, BJ Preziosi, he's very dark, but smart in his humor.
Right.
And that's a fun balance to learn. Like, he's way more like different than I am at writing, because he can just write for an hour and just come up with this great stuff. But it puts you in that same mindset of, you can write a joke that's, you know, titillating and offensive, but not be hacky, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry, I misheard. Like, I thought you said happy, not hacky.
Yeah, just being like, you kind of get through that, because there's a lot of that you have to slough through. Like, I kind of, you know, that's one thing that I love. The one thing that I love that I wonder if other comics have, or how they do comedy and like traveling and stuff, is I love sort of the car rides with comedians, and sort of having that time in between like a mic or a show where you're just like, you're not trying to be funny. You're just being friends and you're being funny and you're coming up with stuff and you're like, oh, wow. Do you have people like that or do you usually commute alone?
I mean, I would say it depends on where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, you know, I'm probably a little more solitary than most of the comedians, but you know, there are certain comedians that I get along really well with. And then with them, I'll just, you know, sometimes it just clicks.
Yeah.
But it depends on the like who it is and how I'm feeling as well.
Yeah. Cause I have a very specific, like my thing that I have is I used to use it a fair bit when I was used to be like in that. I used to say, like, my thing that I would say to newer comics is get the word networking out of your brain and just do cool shit with cool people.
Right.
Like, that's what I feel. That's my,
like, you can network, but think about that like outside of the mics.
Right. And
like cool, just worry about, you know, have like, cause we're not out here. I mean, if you're out doing comedy for the sole intent of becoming famous, then you've already starting on the wrong foot.
Right. Like, that's what I always feel. Like, I'm always trying to come at the right place from it. Cause I do have those. I think everyone in comedy, as much as we try to stay pure to like, oh, performing and being that, it's always going to be in the back of your head.
Oh yeah. No, I'm not claiming I'm above that either.
No, yeah. I know what you mean. I mean, it's the same thing I deal with and I've been dealing with constantly in recent years and months of just, you know, it's kind of, you want any kind of traction, you know, just to move a little bit, you know, and yeah. It's always something that I'm always personally dealing with is like my ego, because, you know, it's so funny. It reminds me of Kyle. You know Kyle Kinane is?
Oh yeah, no, he lives here. So yeah, I know him.
One of my favorite top like three comedians.
Nice.
He has this great bit where he's like, if you ever see a comedian with an ego, like, this is all just, he says, like, this is just a cool thing for parties. Like, hey, I told the joke at this party. It's like, you want to give me $20? You can't be like that.
Right.
It's like, to me, I'm always trying to find a more pure thing with it. But also to me, it's like, I don't know if you have this with the way you are, but to me, I've sort of become like kind of a meme in my scene, and kind of like, to me, my thing is just being like, am I this popular, like beloved kind of small figure, or is it like the town idiot? It's like,
right, yeah. Are people joking around with me or are they bullying me? Cause sometimes it's hard
like,
to tell.
And it's like, and then on the flip side, what I've learned is like, some people really are like, impressed with what I'm doing and they like what I'm doing, specifically with this podcast. You know, people get so, you know, delighted to be on it, and I have such a mix with it because the reason I did it was to fix my attitude. I've always had a terrible attitude about staying where I am and being forced, you know, just by my living situation to be here.
Right.
And it's like, you can either be really bitter and be like, oh, you know, I'm just not going to go out, and I'm just like, or I'm just going to do my set and leave and just be like a dick. And then it's like, no, I'm gonna stay around and I'm gonna do this podcast where I can have other, you know, comedians and headliners and stuff on, but the main thing is just building up that scene in New Jersey and highlighting those people, because that's what I wanted to do.
Right.
It's like, there's so many people that have been doing comedy for so long that it's like, and I think with anyone, you know, we see in like art that we do, we're like, this person should be more famous.
Right.
It's,
yeah,
like, that's always what I have. So to me, it's just, it's a main exercise in trying to have a better attitude towards it. Why I say that at the same time. I'm just, it's just a thing I'm trying to work on. And it's tough because, you know, it's that same place of like, I had a terrible mic that I went to, and it's like a new comedian doing it. And just, it went really badly. It's at like this Italian, like army hall thing, and they're trying to, the one thing that's hard is when you're trying to do an up mic, I think you can maybe relate to this, is a lot of outside people, like the venue, they're trying to make it more showy,
right,
more of a show, and it's tough because it's like, no, this is just supposed to be like a casual open mic,
right?
So we have, and there's a bar there, so we had a lot of drunk people, and there was just a drunk Italian family, and they said the N-word when a black comic was on stage, and it just, And it's like, stupid me, like, the black comic didn't get too upset. There was almost a fight, but like, he didn't get too upset afterwards. But I was like, way to make this about you, Richard, and get upset about it. But I'm just like, you know, I go to a mic, and now it's like a little bit more financially hard. It's like, well, if I'd spend all this money going out to this mic, and a mic is run poorly or bad, I become a total asshole about it. I'm just like,
yeah.
And it's something I'm trying to work on personally, and people are like, they're fine with it, Richard. Like, they understand. But I'm like, no, this is like, I don't want to come off as an asshole, but like, mics, even though they're shitty, need to be run in a certain way. Right?
Right.
You understand that? Like, you know, one of the analogies I always make when talking about open mics on this podcast is, you ever seen the movie Dodgeball before?
Yeah, yeah.
You know how when they have the coach come in, he's like, is he weird? And it's like, he's like, no. And then he acts all weird, and they're like, well, not weird for us.
Right.
It's like the same thing with open mics. You'll bring a stranger to an open mic, like a friend, and they'll be like, that was terrible. And then you'll be like, no, you should have been here 2 weeks ago. This was awful. You know? So to me, it's always, that's my main thing. I've been saying it a lot. It's just trying to fix my attitude and perspective, because you can't just, if you're bitter about comedy and you're bad about it, you're not going to be able to do it, you know?
Right.
You're not going to have that drive of like, okay, I need to go out. So to me, it's like, that's the one thing you really have to work on. Do you have that where like, you know, you'll get to that space where, okay, I need to be writing more. Do you ever get in your head like that? Like, oh, I need to write more. I need to be performing more.
For me, the most recent one, and I've had a couple of different instances of this, the most recent one, like this sort of thing, was instead of focusing on, you know, having a good time, enjoying myself, that sort of thing, I was like, my whole goal was to be funny.
Right.
Like that, like, and like, if you try to be funny, you've already lost, that sort of thing. Right. And so I was like, I kept coming home angry, being like, why isn't this working?
Right.
And then like, you know, reevaluating, I'm like, wait, yeah, why? Like, if I'm coming back angry, why am I doing this? I still want to do this at some level, but like, if I'm coming back angry, it's not worth it. So I'm like, all right, no. Let's just focus on having a good time. And I think things really improved.
I mean, that's the one thing I always have to tell myself is like, and that's when it really works out, is like when I go up and I have a fun time, and the part of it is just balancing that, because it's like, if I'm going to have a fun time, do I want to record my set or not? Or just go up there and make it a fun time for the audience and just be like, that'll be a thing. And it can be tough to balance that, because I think with us, it's, with stand up and essentially, like, to me, when you figure out you're funny, like, you hit that button all the time. I feel like it's like a video game or like a game to me. It's like, oh, I can press that button.
Oh, yeah.
It works. And there's so many different ways that it works for it. It de-escalates a situation. It escalates a situation that can make you, you know, I kind of have this weird thing of, especially now, like, I guess this is my opinion now that I'm sort of, like, try not to be an asshole about it, but it's what I truly believe. I truly believe there's a skill to being funny, and I'm trying to figure out if I'm right on that, if it's, like, something you're born with or something people work at, because I think it's both. It can be both, you know?
I mean, it can be a talent, but it can also be a thing, like, where...
Because I see a lot of people, like, a couple people nowadays who do it for fun and do it for whatever, and it's just, like... and I've always had to be this way, is just be nicer and be like, not everyone has these big grandiose dreams.
Right.
It's like, you know, you got to sort of fit in with that. And to me, that's what I just try to do, is just try to keep a good level head about it. Because as much as when you go out, it's such a, stand-up is also so funny because it's weird because it's such a social thing when comedians are not social people.
Right.
So you're like, okay, I'm going to go out. How am I going to, like, I always get in my head, like, I got to be nice to people. I got to, like, go up and talk and,
right, you know, yeah,
do the community stuff before a set and before an open mic. Like, are you usually to yourself when you go to a mic, or are you usually friendly, like, with a group of people?
I mean, like, it depends on what the social situation is.
Mm-hmm,
and, like, if I can see a way in, usually I'll like go about doing that. But sometimes you just look at a social situation and you're like, I don't know how to approach this.
Right. And you sort of sink back into your jokes and you're like, okay, well, I have this set.
And right.
It's funny, like you were talking about earlier, when you're putting a set together, like to me, I just realized it with myself and with others. It can be so hard to do a set and be like, shit, I should have done different jokes. I picked these 3 jokes to do tonight and I should have done them other and it would fit with the atmosphere. And that's always the tough thing to feel, because I think the biggest thing with comedians is we want to kill all the time. Like, yeah. That's the main thing of like, you want to kill so much that you kind of forget like everything else.
Right.
Like, you know, I have a lot of these, like I was at this open mic on Monday, which is great. And I love going there, but it's like, they have humor that they expect and it's then jokes I want to work on. And it's like that dichotomy of like, do you do this for you or do you do this for the audience?
Right.
And that's one thing that I deal with. Do you ever have that sort of thing?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, I think that's definitely a thing where it's just, you know, part of it is just working on jokes that you think you like.
Right.
That, you know, that you like, but just don't get a reaction.
Yeah.
And like at some level, you like it can be hard to like get like basically just toss a joke at that point where it's just like, yeah, this isn't going to work, or it'll like, you know, hold on to it. But like, you know, it's not ready the way it is. Like either the crowd,
right.
Like the audiences isn't ready for it, or it's just not good enough at this point.
And I think it comes down to audience too, especially nowadays doing comedy is so weird to talk about. It's just performing in front of other comics is supremely tough because everyone's in their head. And to me, my main thing is I have few specific people that I want to laugh at my stuff who are just comedians that I respect. And
right.
I'll just be like, you know what? If I can make this person who's like, who I think is like, you know, the best person there, I'll just be like, you know, if I can make them laugh or get a little pop from them of what I wrote, it's like, that's really cool, and just have it. And then to me, my main thing is where I'm at these specific mics, it's like, okay, this stuff is gonna kill, but it feels like, even though it feels like such a like douchey artist thing to say, it's like, oh, I'm selling out right now.
Right. Yeah.
Doing all my material everyone loves. It's like I kind of, I'm always stuck in that period of like, I want to do stuff, I want it to be hard, because that's the only time I'm ever gonna get any traction out of getting anything better from it.
Right.
So I don't know if you feel that way. Like seeing you, I just am so impressed. You just put that stuff out and you'll be like, this is my new idea. And just working on both channels and putting both things into it. Like, do you feel like people are resonating with the topics you're talking about nowadays? Or
I think so. Yeah. I have some stuff where it like the people online just absolutely love it.
Right.
Like, you know, and they're like, they're not going to be a typical audience. Right. Like you're not going to, unless you get to a point where you can like bring in crowds, that's right. Not going to be your typical audience.
Right.
And I am nowhere close to that at this point, mm-hmm. Which is fine. Like, you know, you need to figure out how to work with a general audience.
Right.
Most of the time. Yeah.
And that's cool with you, because like I saw like you just on these recent shows, and I'm just like, the cool thing to me with that is like, okay, how's that atmosphere going to be for him? Because that's really cool just to see you in that opportunity and be like, you know, the toughest thing I think is just sort of like, to me, I think it's cool to see people whenever they get a big opportunity or any type of opportunity. What was the recent show that you had? I know there was a recent one.
The most recent show was a all queer show in Eugene.
Right. What was that like? Was it, what did you feel like you got what you wanted out of it?
Oh yeah. No, I absolutely, killed on that show.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Like to the point where people like who knew me from Eugene, like before I moved, 'cause I'm from Eugene originally.
Right.
They were, and so like they hadn't seen me do comedy in like 4 years.
Oh, that's fantastic.
We're just like, cool. Holy shit, that was incredible.
Right.
And so there it went really well. Like, people were very, very impressed. And, you know, it's just the sort of thing where, like, I have a lot of material that resonates with the queer audiences in general. Like, a lot of the, like, I've got this one joke that's like 8-ish minutes long about, mm-hmm. you know, figuring out I'm asexual. And basically, you know, the premise of the joke is I figured out I'm like, I think about sex the same way I think about In-N-Out Burger.
All right.
And but basically the premise of it is, like, everybody talked about how great it is because when I was growing up, everybody on the West Coast who didn't live near an In-N-Out Burger,
right,
was like, yeah, if you go down to California or something, go to In-N-Out Burger, it's incredible, you'll love it so much. And, you know, as you can imagine, there are a lot of parallels to sex there. So that's what the joke is.
And that's really cool that you were able to find a way to relate it in that way.
Oh, yeah.
And it's cool to have that showcase. You know, that's always the coolest thing, you know, to be on that. When they're done right, those kind of showcase shows for a group can be really great because it's just like, okay, you finally get that locked in experience. Oh, okay. You
have everybody that in the room under, like, everyone has some idea of what's going on.
Yeah. You have that mini, you know, I don't know if this is the right word, like, repeat of, like, what you can do. It's like, okay, great. That's the one thing that I think every comedian looks for, is just that little opening. You're just like, if I can find this opening to get people to talk, like, to get people thinking.
Right.
Like, that's the big thing. Because to me, my thing is always, I always want to make it more conversational, not people talking to myself, but people being like, you know, understanding what I'm talking about. That's the biggest thing for me, is like communicating what you want to communicate. Because even if they don't understand what you're talking about, like, you do a set somewhere and they don't understand what you're talking about, like, they can at least kind of understand what you're going for, if that makes sense. And be like, I might not find that funny, but I understand why he finds that funny.
Right.
And that's sort of what I try and get at. And a lot of what I do, I mean, you kind of mentioned, you know, your mom not liking you cursing. And I can kind of relate to that. Because my mom can kind of be, like, with some stuff. Like, she's very good. Like, she'd come to a lot of stuff with me early on, and she has a good sense of humor with stuff. But sometimes things get too dirty for her with other people.
Right.
And it's just, like, it's tough. Like, is your mom a pretty clean, like, humor type of person?
Yeah, both of my parents very much prefer that sort of – like, if you're going to swear, like, have it be a rarity sort mm-hmm. of thing.
Yeah. And I bet it can be tough for you because you probably don't view yourself as a vulgar comic, like, compared to other people, right?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
You don't consider yourself vulgar.
Oh, vulgar, yeah. No, I don't consider myself vulgar most of the time.
Yeah.
I have some jokes that cross the line, but, like, it does it intentionally, right. And it's very, like, tongue-in-cheek. Yeah.
To me, I'm, like, I'm very much, like, I say it's, like, if you're 15 and under, like, you can listen to what I talk about, like, you
know? Right, yeah,
it's nothing incredibly graphic, it's just like something, you know, in a little bit more spicy of a vein than anything traditional. And to me, like, I think you can relate to this, is I love John Mulaney, I love, you know, I like Seinfeld, I like a lot of traditional observational humor, right. I just can't do it. So to me, it's like, I'm not going to be able to write, like, 15 jokes about lambs, but I'm going to, with my insomnia and smoking pot, I'm going to have some weird joke, and I have to explain it to normal functioning people.
Right, yeah.
And be like, this will be, you know, and once I can get that point across and be like, okay, this is it. And it can be tough because, you know, I'll go partly of, like, maybe I should be more observational. I talk to a lot of these, you know, a couple of these headlining comics, and I'm like, they're so great at, you know, having a writing schedule and everything. And I'm like, I don't do that. I just smoke pot and write jokes. Well, you
right.
know, write jokes. I'm not, yeah. And I think that's the funny thing about stand-up, incredibly, is the dichotomy of what people think from the outside. They think it's very, like, grandiose, kind of, in a way. And stand-up is very much in itself a craft that is kind of dirty, like, in a way.
Oh, yeah, sense. Yeah.
Like, gritty. Like, I mean, like, you'll go to an open mic, and it'll be in, like, the bottom of, like, a bar. It's not, like...
Right, it's a much stage. More grungy, grimy kind of art form. Like, it's expected to be...
I don't know how it is in Portland for you, but for me, it's like that a lot. Like, we don't really have... We have three, well, we have three, but two like main comedy clubs, and they're getting a little bit better at like showcasing people. But their main thing is, it's like they've always been for like 15 years. It's like, it's almost like dinner theater with just a bar and like a headliner, boomer comic that is either the best like boomer comic or one of the worst that you
heard. Right.
It's like, you know, you're trying not to get bitter. And like, to me, I'm like, I love the punk rock like scene of what we have. And the cool thing that's been really cool is we have this new poetry scene that they've been, you know, around for 10 years on their own, building their own sort of franchise. And they came into our open mic scene, and it's been a real shot in the arm because we have all these poets that can listen to us and be audience members. And even though their art form is different, a lot of them have similar personalities to comics, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's like we sort of immediately have that vibe, and it brings more of that. It just adds more to it. Like, that's one thing that I love. I love, you know, I sort of say this. I have a lot of criticisms and, like, things about, like, comedy clubs that I always complain about. But, like, if a comedy club, like, anyone gave me a spot to, like, become a regular or do anything,
oh,
like,
yeah.
I'd do it immediately.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Immediately sell myself.
I get that.
But from the outside looking in, I'm like, I don't want to do comedy in front of, you know, drunk people.
Right, yeah.
That's, like, the toughest thing. Like, crowd work is a big thing nowadays. It's super big, and I have a terrible attitude towards it. The joke I always have is, if they were funny, they'd be up here.
Right.
You know? And to me, it's also, like, I don't know about you. Like, I sort of talk about it this way. I've been dedicating myself, you know, 8 years or so to writing my own material, and I'm very focused on myself too much. So it's like, I always have to remind myself, Richard, there's an audience here. You have to sort of take that breather and make them a part of it, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Not totally, not like completely, like you can do that more in a comedy club setting of making it more conversational. But to me, I always have to remind that is like, you can't just come up and just word vomit everything.
Right. Yeah.
Like, this is what I want to do. It's like, you have to take that sense of that room. Does that resonate with you?
Oh yeah. I totally get that. And I have to go like, I feel like kind of going out of my way to, you know, do the traditional things of like, hey, yeah, go on stage, give it up for your hosts, give it up for right. the host, that sort of thing, you know, get basically warm up the audience. And it's like, right. yeah, I don't enjoy doing that. Like, I would much rather just go immediately into it. And sometimes I do, because sometimes it's funnier just to immediately come in with just a really weird thing to say.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, what's everybody's opinion? Did anyone have any strong opinions on revolving doors? Like, that's a funny thing to start with.
Oh yeah, that is. And then you take that notice. I remember hearing Brian Regan talk about that on Pete Holmes podcast. I love that episode. I was listening to it because I hadn't listened to it in years. And the thing he said was like a comedian once told him, I forgot who, was like, just go up and don't do the warm up thing. Just say your joke. And he did that, and he said that was amazing because, like, it just got people hooked right away. And I love doing that. But it is tough, you know. To me, I always have that. I, like, have to push myself. Now I, like, because of the sort of the bad attitude I've been having lately, I've been going up more earlier. But to me, I prefer to go up, like, third. That's what I
right.
prefer. I don't know. Do you have, like, a preference of, like, I want to go on more earlier or later?
I think earlier, just because for me, at some point, like if I go on later, like I just have less energy usually just right. because, you know, I have to keep generally like the mask on and everything for longer.
Right. And also you want to get in that sweet spot.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
If they already heard, you know, all these different topics, it can be tough to introduce the topic you want to talk about.
Right.
And be like, well, if I'm going to talk about being ace and people have talked about, you know, hand dryers the past
hour. Right.
It's like, you know, how am I gonna ease into that? And you want to make your mark in that way of like, this is my set, this is what I do. And it's always just fun to talk about. I hope that the one thing that's so interesting about doing this is I never want to get like too dissecting with comedy because it just ruins it, but like I love talking about stand-up. I don't know
Oh yeah, no, I love talking shop too. It's fun.
Yeah, it's always fun because I love getting into the heads of, you know, people who do it and to see that. And do you, like, I've always been, like, kind of chastised for how I dress on stage. Do you ever get any flack for any of that?
Not as far as I know, but Portland is a little more passive aggressive than New Jersey, so it's entirely possible that a lot of people have been talking shit and I just haven't heard it.
Right. Yeah.
So that's the best answer I'm gonna get you.
It's tough to say, like, you know, I'll go up and I'll be like, I did this like closer to Philly, and it's like, that guy can go to bed right after a set. It was like a nice joke. He's like, the guy's in sweatpants, he can
right.
You know? And I'm just like, to me, I'm like, the way that I feel is, as long as it's authentic to who you are, like, I'm not gonna be like a slob. Like, I never am like slobbish when I go to even an open mic, but like, I'm just gonna be my full self, and that's really what you have to pick and depict, you know, what you want to depict on stage. You know, you sort of have that thing of, I think with stand-up you always want to be the most comfortable. You always want to be like, this is me, right? And this is my material. And I love that you are able to do that more, and I really appreciate you giving me your time. I know it's just like an hour, but thank you so much.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me again.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll definitely have to have you on. If you ever have anything, like, even if you want to come on for like 10 minutes and just like, you know, promoting anything, that's super cool. I mean, to see everything that you're doing is just fantastic. And I love seeing it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I definitely, one of my goals definitely for, I want to go to a lot of places this year. I'd love to go to Portland and like go near you and see, you know, your scene and how stuff is, because that seems really cool.
Oh yeah, it's a fun place. I think you'd enjoy it. Yeah.
Have you traveled a little bit for comedy at all?
A little bit in comedy. Like, I visited some friends in Philadelphia, but that was purely personal. But I did like a little bit of mics there.
Ah, cool.
I did a festival in San Francisco for a little bit.
Oh, that's so cool.
And then I've done a little bit in Seattle. But at this point, yeah, it's mostly Portland and Eugene, like the places I have connections at this point.
Right.
But I am, you know, looking into, now that I'm gaining a little bit more confidence and I have some, you know, better tape, I feel like I've got a good thing going. So I'll probably start once summer hits. Hopefully, yeah. I'll be doing some more stuff.
For sure. Yeah. I love hearing that, and just that you're doing, you know, you're doing it. And, you know, that's the cool thing with stand-up is just, it's all about, you know, just when you get on stage. And it's cool to hear, you know, everything that you're doing off, and, you know, everything that you sort of reach with the asexuality stuff. And I think it's been really good, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what's your social media stuff again?
Yeah, you can find me pretty much everywhere at The Real Cody Webb.
Uh-huh. And then your other TikTok is The Fake Cody Web. Is that your Is that your stand-up, The Fake Cody Web one?
Yeah, the stand-up is The Fake Cody Web. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a ton of stuff. You know, you're always coming out with new, you know, stuff. And it's really cool just to see that. And, you know, I just would love to see, you know, it's always a funny time to these comics of, like, different areas. Like, I just love to see them live and see, like, you know, how they are, you know,
right?
All of them, you know. So, but thank you so much. I hope you have a nice rest of your week and weekend and everything.
Oh, yeah, you too. This has been, I really enjoyed this. Yeah.
All right, great. I'm really happy to hear that you had a good time.
All right.
All right. Talk to you later.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye.
Bye.